Hello and welcome to the Client Blue podcast sponsored by NordVPN. All the information you need to sign up and get the best discount from NordVPN is in the description down below. I'm your host for this one, Dan Rowlandson, joined by John Townley to talk about a massive game against Bournemouth. I propped up my microphone on the desk in front of me, but it's fell over in the first 10 seconds, so I'm going to hold it again. John, how are you, mate? Everything okay, your end?
Yeah, very good, mate. I'm still just like smiling and I'm still like giddy about Thursday night. Like, genuinely, this sounds strange. Like, the happiest I've been for like a long time. That sounds really depressing, but you know what I mean? Villa change, it can or does change your mood, probably.
Oh, definitely, else. Yeah.
So, like, I just, yeah, everything just feels good at the moment. Sun's out as well, kind of approaching the summertime, and yeah, off to Athens in a few weeks, hopefully, as well. So, yeah, I'm buzzing.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it? I'm still kind of can't quite get over what happened Thursday myself either. I've just seen some of the highlights again on Twitter. I was like, yeah, why not? Why not watch Matty catch his goal again? I suppose the first place to start, John, is how do we recover from Thursday night? Firstly, as fans, because we kind of are so obsessed with it and still not over it, but with a really important game here against Bournemouth tomorrow that, you know, if we win, we're absolutely in the driving seat for top four. Spurs obviously don't play. Like, this is a really big weekend, but all of our minds are kind of focused on, well, we're European Villa now. Like, there's domestic things to deal with here. And for the players as well, like, they put so much energy and effort into Thursday. As Emi Martinez said in his post-match interview, there will be tired players out there and we need the fans to get behind us. It's almost going to be a strange scenario and a strange atmosphere to deal with, because we all kind of feel it, I think, don't we? Is that fair?
Yeah. And, well, one of the points I was going to raise was, I hope they're preparing better than me for the game, because usually, you know, it's a case of, I don't know, even from European games when we've won, my attention goes straight to the Sunday that we next play, and it hasn't been the case at all. I'm not thinking about Wolves whatsoever. I'm still thinking about the other day, and I don't think it'll quite hit me until we kick off, if I'm being totally honest. And I don't know, maybe that could be a good thing for fans if they are thinking like me, because they're still in that kind of party atmosphere, which I think and we need it through the game. That's the important bit. I've said before in the show that we did when I was outside the stadium, like, I hope that even if we aren't, you know, playing as well as we could, or if in the 80th minute it's decided that we're not winning, we're still pushing the team on then. I think that's the important bit, because, you know, we might not score a goal in the first half or whatever, but we still need to be encouraging the team because they're going to need us. And that's why the club have said, I don't know if you've seen, Dan, get outside. The Trinity Road stand for the players to come in before the game outside the gate, because I don't know, it probably won't be as like jovial as the Brighton game before that match at the end of last season. But that's the
problem.
Well, yeah, possibly. I don't know.
That's everyone kind of feels how we do, and we're still kind of buzzing over Thursday. It's almost not kind of psyching ourselves up for Sunday. It's almost appreciation of what happened on Thursday, but also with the importance of, with a really good atmosphere today, and I do think it will be, we can do something here. Like, as much as the Brighton game you referenced was, if we win, that's top seven secured. It's not the case on Sunday that if we win, it's top four secured. But to go 6 points ahead of Spurs, and then with Chelsea the following weekend where we kick off again before Spurs, like, we're in a great position, and I feel like we all feel that we're on the cusp of something. So to go there and support the lads and hopefully get them over the line is already bringing a smile to my face of how, what might be.
Bringing that energy into Villa Park now, and hopefully that is enough for us to get a quick start and the players can use that as, you know, they'll probably be going on empty after 60 minutes or 70 minutes or whatever. But if they can use that kind of adrenaline just to get over the line, then fantastic. As you say, then we only have a week to prepare for Chelsea, which is a week for any other club, and like, including Chelsea, but for us it will feel like a long time, I think. And yeah, it almost feels like we're ticking off the end of not the penultimate part of the season, but that's how it feels like to me. It feels like, all right, if we can get through Bournemouth, right, then what's ahead? It's what we got, 4 games remaining this season, 2 home, 2 away, and then European commitments as well. But you're going into the final, like, 4 weeks of the season from Chelsea onwards, maybe. So that really is the final part then.
Less than. The end of the season is the 19th of May. It's the 20th of April today.
Yeah, I'm all over the place. But yeah, it's the it's the point at which, though, that group of players, then, you know, you can look and say, well, this player can do this game maybe, and we can, you know, you can manage your squad then. But at the moment, it's all up in the air. And Emery said in his press conference about, I don't know how quite we're structuring this, Dan, but I will say the injury news, and
Just do what you want. Oh, I'm in that vibe now where we've done so many podcasts. Oh, just do what you want. Who cares?
This is still, he doesn't really know about the team news as of Friday afternoon, and he didn't mention anything to Zaniolo or Bailey either, and I wasn't there. It was PLP, I think. So, yeah, he just said that the normal players are Mings, Buendia, Kamara, Ramsey, and I missed someone out there. I think I have.
I feel like there was five.
Moreno. Alex Moreno.
Moreno, yeah.
They're obviously all out, but he said that he doesn't know. He doesn't think there's any more, but you know, we've got another training session on Saturday morning, so I don't know how they'll be coping after that. You know, we'll find out whether Diaby starts again ahead of Bailey because he's carrying some ink. I wouldn't be surprised if that's the case, but Zaniolo, I'm not sure on, because they were bringing on a stretcher, weren't they, at one point?
Yeah. I wonder whether that was kind of crosswires, that the medical team at the stadium thought it was more serious than it was, and then the medical team were actually like, he doesn't actually need the stretcher. But yeah, weird.
It's a huge game, and I'm glad that the club are kind of doing something actively to push that kind of atmosphere, if that makes sense, rather than players just warming up and there's a few thousand people clapping them on. You know, you want it to be a proper event, and fans want that as well. You know, I'm all for every home game, but obviously I might be forcing it if it's home to whoever in the fourth week of the season. You know, it's this is the business end now, and the players need our backing more than ever. And yeah, good to see as well the 1897 group, just a quick mention for them.
I was going to mention that, yeah.
Okay, yeah, they'll be in the P9 block of Doug Ellis. So if fans are wondering why there's home fans in or towards the away section, where there usually is, that's why. They'll have a scarf display, I believe, probably some banners, flags, that sort of thing. So yeah, that's good. They're taking that on board. That's like a trial for those guys.
Yeah.
Guys and girls. So hopefully, yeah, that will look good, and they get more opportunities as well. That's the key thing. So obviously, this is the first time they're doing it. The group will grow. And we've done a piece on them, a couple of pieces actually, on Birmingham Live, if people want to check them out and see what they're about. There's no, you know, there's no, how do I say, there's no motive behind just literally supporting Villa, making noise, increasing the atmosphere at Villa Park, away from the whole end as well, you know, kind of trying to involve the whole stadium. And yeah, really, really proud of what they're doing, because it takes, you know, someone, we all say it, but someone's got to start it. So
yeah.
People have founded that group, you know, full credit to them, and hopefully they can continue to grow.
We all know that we're on the verge of something. We all know that it's kind of do or die, like you say, to do this on game week 4 at home to Crystal Palace. We'll be like, well, this is we're kind of bordering on tin pot now, because we're trying to force an atmosphere. But we know that it's a Sunday, it's a 3 o'clock kickoff, which in itself is already weird. But we know that this is a massive game, a massive opportunity. And, you know, if we all kind of come together as one, staff, players and fans, as much of a cliche as it is, it can make a difference. And you'd like to think that the effort put in on Thursday, yes, took a lot out of the lads, extra time and penalties for a start, never mind just the 90 minutes, but just running off vibes and adrenaline that will hopefully see us through it. And how good would a 2-goal lead be at half time or something like that, just go, right, we're serious here, we've done enough to get most of the job done. My approach to it is like, all we're building up to it, it feels massive. I just don't want to be hit with the kind of sucker punch of, oh no, 1-0 Bournemouth, what a missed opportunity. Like, I feel like we need to capitalise on this, because I don't want to put a negative spin on it, but to beat Arsenal, to then not beat Bournemouth would be, I feel like, a little bit like a waste.
I remember writing something on the Sunday night or Monday morning or whatever it was, after the Arsenal game, saying, like, you know, this win is huge and we feel so positive, but if Villa were to get knocked out against Lille, the kind of that feel-good factor basically saps away. You know, it's all well and good doing the Arsenal stuff, but now that has to be used as a catalyst of, you know, that pushes them forward.
We're all talking about this 9-point potential swing, aren't we, ahead of Spurs, if we were to beat Chelsea and Bournemouth. It's all well and good kind of going, well, if we can do that, that'll be Arsenal, Lille, Bournemouth, Chelsea in a row. Like, that's a massive effort to do that at this stage in the season. But it kind of feels like, not that we have to do it, but it's such a good opportunity. Please, let's not pass this up by being complacent or not putting the effort in. Like, I don't suggest the lads will do that, but we've got it kind of within our grasp here, and let's try and make the most of that.
Yeah, and I felt like before the Arsenal game, there was a weird kind of feeling about where we were, in a strange about way. Like, we had the result against Wolves, but then the Brentford result obviously was that was a blow, considering how it happened. And then just, it felt like, are we running out of energy? Are we running out of impetus? Even the Lille match we won, but then we conceded late, and it was like, oh, God, you know, we've kind of blown ourselves, shot ourselves in the foot a little bit there, even though they're a good team, and winning against them was, in the end, you know, obviously, you know, hugely important. But yeah, to kind of go from those feelings to where we are now of Arsenal, what a performance, what a result, to Lille, less said about the performance, but more occasion, we can now use that hopefully, and again in our advantage, because so as you rightly put out, Dan, two games now ahead of Tottenham, we can go 9 points ahead of them. That's massive. I was walking to the train station earlier thinking, would I take 4 points out of the next two games? I don't know, because in my head I'm thinking, well, if we don't beat Bournemouth, that's a bit disappointing. You know, not again, not to be negative, but that's how we would feel. We want to win the game.
Yeah, of course,
Chelsea at home as well. You know, you're thinking, well, we can beat Chelsea, 8 o'clock, what is it, a Saturday night. You know, we want to win that game as well. But then you feel a bit greedy, saying 4 points, Arsenal win, Lille going through. And do you know what I mean? Yeah, but it feels almost too good to be true. But even if you were to get 4 points out of the next two, that would put us on 67, right?
Mm-hmm.
63 now. So, you know, we'd be 3 points away from 70 with three games left. That's a very good position to be in even then. So, you know, even if Villa were to, you know, not get the job done against Bournemouth, you know, that would be a bit frustrating. But you've got Chelsea at home next. Put everything into that one after a few days rest. Yeah, we're in a good position anyway. But yeah, if we can beat Bournemouth, fantastic. Four games left to get. How many points would that be then? 4 points to 70, whatever. I don't know. Would that be right, sir? Yeah, sorry. 4 points to 70. Four. Yeah.
Basic maths.
A lot of maths listening to us probably waffling at this point. It's just, you know what I mean? There's so much excitement and we're trying to work things out.
We're trying to use this podcast basically to process what we're thinking about. Yeah, it's been I put on Twitter yesterday that by the time Tuesday morning comes around, we'll have done 20 podcasts in 22 days. Yes. And people are like, oh, you're kind of grinding as much as the Villa team is. But it's because Villa are playing so much that we're doing more.
Oh, yeah. Shows. We're grinding as much as the Villa team is as we sit down and just talk.
I'm really putting in as much effort as 2 hours of football. Yeah, bloody hell. But you know what I mean? Like, we're using this platform to kind of work out what we think in our heads. To verbalise it to each other.
I sent you a voice note after Villa won, didn't I? When I got back to my hotel, I was pacing up and down at like 1 a.m. or whatever it was, just saying, Dan, we need to do a podcast. I need to do a podcast with you tomorrow. Make sure you're available because I need to talk to someone. But yeah, wherever we were in that previous question, Bournemouth will still be a very tricky game. And I've seen a few people post, you know, this is probably one of the teams that you really don't want to be playing when you're sapped on energy and kind of, you know, you need to be up and at Bournemouth to beat them because they press so well. That's their whole philosophy behind Iriola. And the stat you mentioned earlier. Well, I think it was up until November 8th or 9th or 11th. I'm not too sure. They had like the third least amount of points, fewest points in the division. As we all know, they had such a bad start. But then since then, only the top four teams have got more points. So theoretically, we are playing a team who should be in and around Europe because we're facing a Bournemouth team who are, you know, they're not the team that started that. Not the team that started, they're the team that have grown under Iriola. Mm. For sure, this is going to be a difficult match, like no doubt about it. But we have got the advantage of, we've got the advantage of it being at home and it should be a really good atmosphere. But then also it's balanced out with our players are probably going to be a bit knackered. You know, we wouldn't be surprised if there's a few changes to the team. There's not a whole lot Emery can do anyway. Obviously, Louise will come out and probably talk about that in a bit. But yeah, Bournemouth in general is just a tricky game to kind of negotiate at any point in the season.
Yeah, I'll come at this from two ways. I want to say that this won't be easy, but it isn't. But I also look at Villa's remaining five games and go, well, they're all winnable. Until fourth is secured in the Premier League, you might be able to write off the last game of the season or whatever. But for the most part, we've got to go hell for leather in every game. And we'll think about the back end of the season later. As I said last week, I think all I'm focused on now after Lille is Bournemouth and Chelsea. Forget the semi-final for now. I know it's only two weeks away, but it's those two games coupled together as at least 4 points and we're in a great position. And I'm getting way ahead of myself here and I can already anticipate some of the comments suggesting that I'm letting this get to my head a little bit. But the way that I felt about Villa's promotion to the Premier League in 2019, it almost had and again, this is easy to say with hindsight, of course, it almost had a little bit of an inevitability about it. We're on a six-game winning run, a seven-game, eight-game. Like, we're going to get into the playoffs now because look at us getting past Albion in the semi-final, Derby in the final. Easy. Do you know what I mean? Like, it felt like it was destined for us. And I kind of feel the same way about Villa a little bit. I don't know whether, you know, if I can see into the future, maybe, am I seeing a Villa conference win or a top four win? Like, what future am I trying to predict here? But something feels like it's going to happen. It just feels like something is building here. Yeah. It feels like it's inevitable. And that's stupid to say with seven, eight games left to go. But if we were to win tomorrow, if we were to beat Chelsea, you look at the top four and go, we got a brilliant chance of this. If we won the first leg against Olympiacos 3-0, you go, we got a good chance to get into the final here. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, it all feels too good to be true. we're not going to throw this away. We're not going to blow up in the last couple of games. If we just keep doing what we're doing, we should achieve our goals. And it has that kind of inevitability about it, which I know is stupid, but that's just how I feel.
Well, for sure. And I think that's how everyone feels. And we all feel like that. And to take it a step back, it's because it's all in our own hands. That's the point.
Yeah.
You know, if we still had City away and Arsenal away, I mean, Arsenal away is, you know, it's all right. But if we had those games where
we play you every week,
all those games feel winnable for different reasons. Bournemouth at home is a winnable match. Again, no disrespect in saying that. We're in the league table and we're playing at home. Same for Chelsea. Liverpool at home, even that game now, I'm almost relishing because I don't think Liverpool will have anything to play for at that point unless City slip up and Liverpool are perfect up until then. Brighton away, again, a game that we're going, you know, we've got a very good record at Brighton, and Brighton, while they're strong at home.
So we're Arsenal.
Yeah, and the point I'm trying to make is, you know, where they're 10th in the league, is, you know, we can beat those teams and then Palace on the final day. So they are winnable. And Conference League, we're a better team than Olympiacos. We just have to prove it. So it's all in our hands.
You can tell the same statement for the Premier League.
That's my point.
We're the fourth best team. We've just got to prove it.
Yeah, exactly that. And that's why the Arsenal win was so important, because if we lost that game, it would be like, okay, you know, almost felt like a free hit. It never was in the end, but then Tottenham would have been, you know, joint points with us. They would have had a game in hand, and their fixtures are, you know, they've basically got two wins against Burnley and Sheffield United. I know anything can happen, but we have to basically imagine that they've got 6 points there. Let's be real. Liverpool, they've also got City at home, which we don't know what the context of that game will be. Will that be the game that City need to win the league on, or will they have already won the league? I don't know. The Arsenal match as well. Arsenal play tonight against Wolves. If they don't win that, then the league title's almost slipped away a little bit. That Tottenham game next week, you know, it's a must win anyway. But how will Arsenal cope with not beating Wolves if they don't? Yeah. I think Wolves have got so many injury problems, and, you know, I think that helped us. I don't think we played actually particularly well against Wolves, but we won 2-0 because they had no firepower. So Arsenal should be okay. And if they do win that, then they go to Tottenham thinking, all right, Tottenham have played this amount of games on us anyway. They've got this amount of rest days ahead of us, or they have or had. But it's a must win. And so there's a lot of context still to happen, but if you boil it all down, Villa could go 9 points ahead of Tottenham. It's in our hands for the Conference League, as in we are the favourites. And if we do our job, we'll go through to the final. And then in the Premier League, we've got winnable games and we are the favourites to do that as well. So it's just about doing it. And under Emery, there's nothing to suggest why we wouldn't. So that's why we're confident. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, whether we do or we don't, that's the position we're in now. And it's it's just a brilliant position to be in. And it's I'm still giddy about Thursday, and I'm giddy about what could happen in the next few weeks. And you just hope that, yeah, on Sunday we can kind of back it up, and wow, what a position that'll be.
Let's do a predicted 11 then. Run me through who you think will start on Sunday. As we said, I don't think there's massive amounts of changes that can be had, but obviously Douglas Luiz is going to come out of the side, Tielemans and McGinn back in the middle together, and the rest of it kind of picks itself, I think.
Yeah, I think so. Well, I suppose you have the situation of the centre-back / right-back.
True.
I thought Cash would have played kind of a full 90 against Bournemouth, and Konsa and Carlos would have played against Lille, just to have that more kind of secure defensive setup. But credit to Cash anyway. I thought he was one of our better players on the night, because although one of his opportunities were offside, I don't recall us really making an opportunity not involving Matty Cash. So, full credit to him. And I know he sung his praises previously on the other podcast for the goal he scored, which, again, could be a decisive moment in Villa's recent history if we go on to win the competition. Anyway, predicted 11.
Dropping that statement and just going, anyway.
Yeah. Martinez is not suspended. He can play in the Premier League game this weekend. And, yeah, he'll play. He'll play in front of a defence, I presume, of Cash, Konsa, Torres and Luca Dean. Again, might seem a bit harsh on Carlos, I don't know, because he was excellent against Arsenal, but I just feel like this game needs a bit of, I wouldn't say chaos on that right side, but I feel like Cash just brings something to it that's either unexpected. It's all kind of, this isn't disrespectful when I say it, but it's a bit like Crash Bang Wallop when he goes forward, but in a good way, if that makes sense.
Crash Bang Wallop.
Nice.
Thanks, mate. Yeah. You can use that in a headline if you want. When he scores the winner on Saturday, please use Cash Bang Wallop as a headline, please.
I think that's really good. Him playing in that role that he does, I just think we don't really have that. It's quite rough around the edges, but in a good way again. Midfield, Tielemans and McGinn, I presume, is the two. I don't think Tim will start. And then Rodgers left. Well, actually, yeah. Rodgers left. Watkins up front. And then what happens?
I think you play Bailey and Diaby. You have to, don't you?
I'm just thinking of Bailey's fitness. I presume you're going to have to. But then what do we have off the bench? Zaniolo, I don't know if he'll be fit. Again, Emery didn't mention him, but I hope he just didn't forget. You know, because I didn't think he'd be fit for this game. But if Emery hasn't mentioned that he's out, then I presume he's okay. So maybe Zaniolo. I don't know. We'll see when the team comes out. And yeah, just not sure about how that dynamic will work, actually. Because you're thinking, well, you must want Bailey or Diaby to come off the bench, maybe. Mate, I don't really have a predictable lineup, but we've kind of gone through the possibilities.
Yeah, and that's good enough for me, to be honest. Let's finish then with a score prediction. Last time out, obviously, Arsenal away. I went for 2-2. You went for 2-1 Arsenal. Obviously, 2-0 Villa in the end. So, nil pois for both of us. There's only 5 games left in the Premier League that we're going to take note of predictions. It is super close in terms of the battle between the two of us. So, every game counts. Are you, and I'll ask you this last time, are you going with blind faith of, oh, I'll just predict a Villa win because this is a Villa podcast? Or are you going to actually try and play the game to win the predictions league?
I think it'll be a very tight game. I'll say, I just think it's such a tricky game for Villa this because there's firepower.
Can I go first?
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
so I always ask you first and I always feel like I have to change my prediction based off what you said.
I'll go and say what I want to say. So.
Possibly, because I've gone more conservative than usual. I also think it'll be tight and it might just be that we're kind of playing on fumes a little bit, but I just hope that's enough to get the job done. I'm going to go for probably what is an uncharacteristic of me, at least, 1-0 Villa.
That's the result. Solanke scares me, basically.
Yeah, it feels unlikely, but I'm going to go with it anyway. Get a goal early and then maybe just keep it tight and keep it steady and be professional about it.
Yeah, they have got a few injuries as well. The ball, if I quickly rattle through those, Meppham and Adams are both doubts. Semenyo could be on the bench, but unlikely to start.
He's dangerous.
He's going to play Semenyo, yeah. Sinisterra, Fredericks, we don't like Fredericks, and Tavernier are all out. So, you know, it's hardly like bare bones for Bournemouth, but there's a couple of players who aren't going to be fully ready. I thought Solanke was carrying something or playing through something. Someone told me that a few weeks ago. But it'll be a big threat. I'll say 2-1 Villa, but I do think there'll be some, like, you know, I don't think it's a game where Villa win 2-3. You know, like in the previous game last season. I know Bournemouth are better now anyway. Any win. You know, I don't even mind suffering tomorrow as long as we win sound.
Big week ahead, but let's get to Sunday first of all. It's a 3 o'clock kickoff, like I said. So there will be a post-match show at 6:30, 7 p.m, something like that. That should be myself and Kendrick. Let us know your score predictions in the YouTube comments down below. It'd be interesting to hear how you see this game going. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. And we'll see you again Sunday evening. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.